And they ran all of the churches out of the system.
Now they ran all of the churches out of the system, mm-hmm. and yet Grace AME Zion is still
there. It's still there. Mm-hmm.
Why is that still there and all of the other churches are not?
I really don't know that.
Friendship go immediately from First and Brevard over here to
No, it went, yeah, to Batesville Road, but it went to Northwest School. We had service there for 7 years at Northwest School.
So it was first at Northwest School?
Yeah, 7 years.
So it was at Northwest School, and then it was?
Then where we are now.
Friendship is on Batesville Road now.
Yes.
It was at First and Brevard, then it switched to Northwest School.
Northwest School for 7 years.
7 years. Mm-hmm. And then to Batesville.
Batesville.
Where it is now. Neighborhoods that people came from who went to Friendship Baptist? Were they all just Brooklyn residents?
No, I wouldn't think so. I don't think so. There were people from all across the city that came to Friendship.
Billville?
Yeah, you had some from Billville, but most of them were right there in Brooklyn. Yeah, we moved from
First and
Brevard. Let's see if I can get it. It says October 1963. Moved from Brevard Street because of Irvin.
Because of urban redevelopment.
Mm-hmm.
What was your reaction when your church moved, when Friendship moved?
Well, we had really outgrown the church as far as seating capacity and all of that. So really, we were upset that we had to go because we really wanted keep our building. But as far as moving, it was fine with me.
The church at Northwest School, was that bigger?
We were just using that the auditorium for the school, using it as a sanctuary during that time. Yeah, it was bigger. The auditorium was much bigger than our church facility on the Ford Street.
Did you end up losing members?
No, we didn't lose any. No, we didn't. We have really never lost any. Our membership continues to grow from, let me see, you have that on there?
Yes.
Okay. When I joined the church, I don't know exactly what the membership was, but it was... It's up to now, like almost 5,000 people. When it started out in 1890, it was just 22 members.
there was no change in.
No, we have some leaving even now, but you have more coming in than you do have leaving. You know, you have people leaving for different reasons, leaving town, or some of even say the membership is just too large. They, you know, would rather be in a smaller church. But as a whole, we don't lose as many members as we gain more than we lose.
Is everybody from Brooklyn, from First Ward, Second Ward, Rear Town, who went to Friendship Baptist, they stayed with the church?
No. Rear Town, those people, you asked me about the school.
That's right.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying that the membership on Bavoy Street was from Rear Town. You might have had a few members that were there from Rear Town, but most of those members from Brooklyn, they were Brooklyn people. Now, when you asked me about the high school, I was telling you they came from Rear Town and Cherry.
That's right.
And,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We have one of these books in all of the libraries. I know one is in the main library, and there's one in the library up here.
Yes, what is that book called?
It's called our Centennial, Friendship Missionary Baptist Church Centennial.
Yes, okay.
And there's, when they built the new library there, we put one in the capsule. It's buried there in the capsule. One of these books are there. So you're quite welcome to use this one if you would like to, you know, get some more information about the church from this book, because it really is a detailed book of what has gone on there since from 1890 to 1990. Mm-hmm. And this is Ebenezer's. We at Friendship have had Pastor Jones is our 13th pastor. I think he is, he's the one. He's our 13th pastor. We started out with Dr. Alan L. Lewis in 1890, and now we're 13th pastors. So we have pictures of most of them in that book. Ebenezer was a church where I was baptized at the age of 8. And when I got married, I moved my membership to Friendship in 1952.
Now you said earlier that Ebenezer was also in the Brooklyn community.
Yes.
Where was it relocated?
Corner of 2nd and Davidson Street.
2nd and Davidson.
And this is their history book from 1890 to 1995. That church was organized in 1877. It's older than ours.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a little older. Mm-hmm.
Were they relocated in the same year?
No, they left Davidson Street because of fire. They've had two fires. They left Davidson because of a fire, and they moved to Trade Street on the corner of Trade Street. And then that church burned, and that's where they are now. They've rebuilt. After that church burned, after the first church burned, we had services at the Second Ward High School auditorium. And then when the second church burned, I can't remember where they went. But anyway, they are where they are now because of a second fire.
So now Ebenezer Baptist Church at one point had their services at the auditorium at Second Ward High School.
Yes, after the first, after the church that burned on Davidson Street and First, Davidson and Second, they met at Second Ward High School.
Was Second Ward still in existence? Was
yes.
It still high school at the time?
Yes.
All right, so.
That fire happened in 1949. I think that first time. Because we did not have a church, and her funeral was held at Friendship Baptism, but she was a member of Ebenezer.
What was that like? That was about the time that you were in high school, is that correct?
I was in high school when Ebenezer Byrne in 49. I was in my 10th grade.
What was that like, having the services of
Ebenezer? We had just left that church. We did a Christmas cantata every year. And we had just left the church after a rehearsal of this cantata. And my brother-in-law called and said the church was on fire. And it was I think it was down in the basement, the furnace, malfunction or something of the furnace that caused it. But anyway, we met at Second Ward until we relocated, until they relocated on Trade Street. They purchased the former white church on Trade Street. That's where they were until the Second Ward.
So now you're going to school at Second Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And for a little while you were going to church
at Second Ward.
What was that like?
Well, it was just something we had to do. Really, at my age, you didn't think too much about it. You didn't feel one way or another about it. It's just something you had to do. You just had to accept what had happened.
Mm. Earlier, you talked about the movies and the movie places that you had gone to.
Lincoln Theater, located on 2nd Street.
Mm-hmm. Talking about some of the other businesses that were.
Oh, and we had the McKissick Shoe Shop. You had you had grocery stores there. Let's see, what was Cuz? Cuz had a grocery store there. There was another shoe shop, Mr. James. There's James's Shoe Shop. That it was in Brooklyn also. And there was an off-state laundry, and there was an ice house on McDowell. There was a restaurant called El Chico on McDowell.
El Chico.
Mm-hmm. And during WW2, there was a USO. House for soldiers to be entertained on McDowell.
All these businesses located around McDowell Street.
McDowell and our second. McDowell and second. They all were on McDowell or second.
So which businesses did you go to?
Well, I would go to all. I would use McKissick Shoe Shop. And sometimes use Mr. James's Shoe Shop, or North Street Laundry usually come by and pick up your, they would do what you call a wet wash. They would come and get your clothes and bring them back damp. They would come to your house. And sometimes I would have to walk to McDowell to get some ice, have a wagon, we would pull the ice or the coal. So we had to go get coal during the winter. We would always go down to the ice house, coal house on McDowell to get the coal to heat the house. And you know, during that time when I was growing up, you didn't have refrigerators as they are now. You had what you call an ice box. And in the ice box, you would put the block of ice, and you would have to have a pan under it to catch the drippings. You remember that?
I don't remember that.
That's what it was. I would call an ice box. Mm-hmm. Nothing electric about it, but just an ice box. And you put a big block of ice in it, and you would have to have it had some pipes that would run with a hole, and you would put a pan in there to keep the water from dripping on the floor. And you had to empty the pan ever so often to keep the water from overflowing. So.
And how often did you have to empty? Did it have to be empty?
You would have to empty about every 3 or 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Because the ice didn't last that long. You'd have to go get ice practically every day.
So somebody had to be around constantly to empty it.
But we got pretty smart. You know what they did? They stationed it in a certain place in the kitchen, and they would bore a hole through the floor, and the water, it would go into the house. So we finally became scientists, and we invented methods of of saving you some labor. And you know, we did not have electricity, and we had what you call lamps with a glass chimney. And every day, that would be one of your chores, to wash the lampshades, clean the lampshades. So.
How long did that take?
It didn't take very long to clean a lampshade. You use newspaper to clean them. It didn't take very long to do that.
Now you're saying that there was a laundry service. They used to pick up
them? Yeah, they would come pick up your soiled clothes, and they would bring them back damp. It's called a damp wash. Or you could get it. You could get the full service where they would. Or you could get a dry wash where they would fold them for you. Or you could get them pressed. But usually the cheapest method would be get the damp. And then you hang them around. If it was winter, you hang them around your kitchen until they dry. Or if it was warm outside, you hang them out on the line.
What was the name of that?
What?
What was the name of the line? So
it was called the dry wash, the damp wash.
The damp wash.
Damp wash.
I never heard of a laundry service where they come to your house and pick up your laundry.
Oh yeah, they used to come pick up your dry cleaning and all that and deliver it and bring it back.
Oh yeah, we were talking about some of the businesses in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Who owned the businesses? Were they black owned?
Now the laundries weren't. They were white owned, but the other businesses that I told you about, they were black owned.
Mm-hmm. So just the laundry service was?
That's the only one that I can remember that mm-hmm. was white owned. But the and then you had two funeral homes in Brooklyn, Alexander's Funeral Home, and then you had Greer's Funeral Home. Now those are the two that I know about, because Greer was on First Street and Alexander was on Beaufort Street. And both of those funeral services are still in existence.
They're still in existence? Mm-hmm. Are they still in existence at the same place that
no,
they were?
No. Alexander has been in two different places since it left Revoit. It was on Irwin, and now it's on Statesville. Now Greer was on Statesville, and now it's on Cloudman.
About when were those funeral homes moved?
I really couldn't tell you that. What year they were. I think they went the same time the churches went. And, what was that, 63?
1963.
Mm-hmm. Now I think that, don't quote me, I might be
right.
Right,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
What about the laundry service?
Well, the laundry service, I think, went. It might have stayed there a few years. See, I moved from Brooklyn in 1952. I moved in 52.
Okay.
And I got married. That's when I moved to South Tryon Street area.
Okay.
So I moved to 52.
Right, now you moved in 1952. Did you still come back to Brooklyn?
Oh yeah, I came back to Friendship Church, and my family was still there. My sister and brother, my mother died in 1950. She died before I left Brooklyn. She died in 1950.
All right, let's see, you came back to see your family. Came back to, all right.
Church.
First, it was Ebenezer,
mm-hmm.
then Friendship.
Yeah, well, I joined Ebenezer, Friendship in 52.
Mm-hmm. Any other connections to Brooklyn, any other reasons to come back to Brooklyn since
I left? No, after I started working, there were times I had to go over to the education center, or I go there now for the Marshall Park, or go down to the Adams Mark Hotel. I was there last Friday night, the Adams Mark. But I don't guess they call that Brooklyn anymore.
Well, it's still located where Brooklyn used to be.
Mm-hmm. And there was a house of prayer at one of the churches, the house of prayer for all people. Mm-hmm. It was in Brooklyn.
Still there?
No, it's on Batesville Road now. One of them. They have about, I don't know how many missions they have, but they have house of prayers all over the city. There are two of them on Batesville Road. The mother house is right as you came off there. It's right to the right there. It's about a half block down, the mother house is. And then on down Batesville Road, there's another house of prayer. And there's one over in First Ward, and there's one in the Ryder area. They have houses. And there's one on Mint Street, house of prayers. In fact, the McDonald's cafeteria, they have bought that property. So that belongs to them now, house of prayer.
They seem to be pretty active.
Oh, yeah, they're active all over the southern states. I know they have the bishop lives in Washington. They have house prayers there. They have lots of churches around the country.
Coming up in Brooklyn, what was your impression of the house of prayer, the United House of Prayer?
It was something we looked forward to, a place we looked forward to going, because it was very different from other churches, because they had a bishop, and they treat him royally. He would sit on a throne-like chair, and they would fan him, and they would collect the money in wash tubs, and they did a lot of shouting and falling out and this type of thing. And every September, they would have a parade and beautiful floats, and you would have vendors all around the street selling lemonade and hot dogs and fish sandwiches and all that. And it's something you look forward to doing, look forward to every year. And the parade, where he'd be sitting on a float with these beautiful ladies fanning him. And he had very long fingernails. In fact, he lived only, his name was C.M. Grace, Bishop C.M. Grace. So he lived only a block from me. I lived in 700 block. His house was in the 800 block at the corner of McDowell and 3rd. And when he was in town, a band would play about an hour before he'd come out. And then when he come out, they'd put red carpet down for him to walk on. And he'd come out with these long fingernails doing this. And we'd always go down and stand to watch Bishop Grace come out. And it was something.
How often do you think he went down there?
Not very often. My mother didn't allow me to. Not very often.
Why not?
Well, we had our own church, and my mother was very strict. My father died when I was 7. He died in 1940. And my mother was very strict, so my activities were very limited.
But you got down there?
Every now and then. Mm-hmm. But I could go down and watch him come out, but to go to the house, go to the church, which was a tent-like house on Long Street. It was tent-like, and it had sawdust in the, that was their first church. And he died in, I think it was 1952.
The same year your mother died?
My mother died in 1950.
1950, yes.
I think he died in 52. C.M. Grace. And they've had several other bishops since he died. In fact, you might want a tour of the church. Oh, it's a very beautiful church.
So this was every September, did they have a name? Was it Convocation?
Yes, that's what it was, Convocation. You had them in your city too?
No, I just heard of...
Heard of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd have a Convocation. It was a very beautiful parade. They'd have the bands. They still have very good bands now. And they have two or three bands at this church, the mother house there. In fact, my pastor celebrated his anniversary in November past. They had the trombones to come to our church, because my pastor went to their church when they renovated the church, and he went to the opening of it, and he fell in love with it. He said he wanted that at his funeral. He wanted those band folk to play at his funeral. So they had them at the anniversary. They marched in there, and it was really nice. It was something to behold. And you know, the band is always in the Christmas carousel, house prayer band. Mm-hmm. And they usually come in first in the competition. Mm-hmm. But they've always had good bands.
the mother house, how did, was that the first, the very first church with the United House of Prayer?
Yes, in the mother house. Mm-hmm.
So it started here?
As far as I know, it did.
It started in Charlotte.
And during the week of the convocation, the kids wouldn't come to school. They'd stay out because they have all-night services, long services. In fact, they have long funerals now. And the kids were, but you know what? They were the most obedient kids in the school. You had no problem without a house for kids.
Now, the children wouldn't come to school during the time of the convocation.
Yeah,
About what time did about school
a week.
Start?
They'd be out for about a week. They wouldn't come at all that week. Some of them wouldn't because of the long services and because the kids would attend the services. And I guess they would be too tired to come out the next morning. I don't know what reason they would have for not coming to school that week. But you could always have been. I taught school 34 years at Marie G. Davis Elementary. And I had a lot of those kids in my class.
Children from the United House?
From the United House of Prayer.
And they were they better disciplined than the other children?
They were, I don't say better disciplined, but you didn't have any problems out of them. For example, you have kids that come from a good home, a good family background, you know, would always give you problems, but those kids did not give you any kind of problems. They were always very obedient, right on task. Not always the smartest ones, but they were very obedient kids, very well behaved.
Why do you think that was?
I think they stress a lot of that. They stress a lot of that in their work. Because you very seldom, if you read the paper or if you hear radio, somebody being arrested for something, and if they come out with the church or something, they never, you very seldom hear of a house of prayer person getting in any kind of major trouble. They're a very close-knit group of people.
So discipline and obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Is in the table. Mm-hmm. All right, you talked about the businesses, you talked about the churches, the schools. What other institutions were important in Brooklyn?
I can't think of any more.
Sororities, fraternities?
Well, that was after my time in Brooklyn because I didn't get involved in that until I went to college. They had Masonic groups. During that time, but by my father dying at 7, see, I didn't get too much involved with that until I got married. My husband was a Mason.
Is there a chapter in Brooklyn?
Yeah, there was one, but I don't know too much about that.
Any NAACP members?
Oh, yeah, that was always. I'm going to always remember hearing about the NAACP. In fact, Kelly Alexander was one of the first presidents of the NAACP. He was also one of the owners of the Alexander Funeral Home. Mm-hmm. And then his son went on, Kelly Jr. He became president of the NAACP. Yeah, that is always been around as far as I can remember.